Blog Talk Radio.
Somewhere here. There we go. Let's get our YouTube family live. Big cup of coffee to match the blueberries. Meeting is now being live streamed. We welcome all of you wherever you may be around the world. And whatever may be the electronic device you are joining us with, welcome, 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 welcome. It's good to be in the studio with you. I definitely enjoy joining you wherever I'm at. In the last 3 months, been out there in there 2 months, whatever it's been out there in the semi, being able to connect up with you on the top of a hill somewhere, watching the sunset. I like that. But tonight, here we are in the studio again, and we're glad to have you with us. All of you who join us from around the world, we would love to see your face. So shoot us an email and send a picture of you and your family. Have somebody take a picture of you listening to or watching the program, being a part of the program. We would love to have that. You can send it in my email. You'll find that right down there in the comments section of this program on Facebook or on YouTube. And on Blog Talk Radio. That way you can be connected. What we're going to do with all of that, if you send us a picture, as soon as you send us a picture, we're going to create a partner board. It'll be right there behind Sister Leanne's head on that side of the studio.
All right.
And that'll be our...
That'll be awesome.
That'll be that side of the studio backdrop. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, you and I have begun a process led by the Holy Spirit of God and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God as we are establishing our faith. One of the amazing things that God has done in our lives is brought us all together for the purpose of growing and developing in our faith. And, you know, one person said, well, you're no faith giant. The very fact that we're staying at this makes us all a faith giant. What makes you a faith giant is not that you have a ministry that wraps around the world, although we do. And that you have a big building somewhere. Don't matter. We got one sitting right out here. It's not in our possession yet, but it's ours. Amen. The idea is faith is a process that we work on every single day of our life till Jesus comes. Remember Brother Hagin saying in one of his messages that faith, or everything in the kingdom costs the same amount. So it doesn't matter if you're building a building in India, in China, England, South America, America. It don't matter. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. So it doesn't matter how much your building costs. It's still going to be faith. And, you know, we've got a picture out here, Andrew and Jamie Womack, because we sewed into that parking lot project that they were building. And what was it, 18 or 22 million?
Million, yes.
18, 22 million, something like that, for this parking garage. And you might think, well, why would God spend that much money on a parking garage? Well, he's got streets of gold. He don't care.
Yeah.
He gave Solomon $1 billion to build the temple. When are we going to get it that it's just as much greed is just as much, poverty is just as much a financial sin as greed is.
As it is in heaven.
Because our prayer is, thy kingdom come on this earth, in this earth, as it is in heaven. And the word we got for tonight, I turned my computer on, and you know how YouTube is, and it pops up a video of somebody who you regularly study after, yeah. You know. I'm sure it would do the same thing if I was continually listening to five different artists that sang. When you open your computer up and YouTube kicks on, it'll kick one of them up. Well, one of my favorite preachers popped up, and in the first 15 seconds made a statement about the glory of the Lord that's like, oh, my Lord. And so we're going to study that tonight. That's answering a question for me. And may not answer a question for you, but it is a revelation of faith and the glory of God. We want you to join with us tomorrow morning for 1 hour of faith and then communion. We've learned to say that differently now. It's 1 hour of faith and then communion. Brother Dave
Villiard,
if you're on your way up here, make sure you let me know. I want to make sure I'm here so I can see you, brother. He'll be driving back up here. He's picking something up or something. And I always want to hug the necks of all our friends. Brother Leo called me the other day and he said, hey, I'm heading home. Pray for me. I'm like, I'll do better than that. I'll come right up where you are. I know you were loyal and pray with you. And got to do it. Hug our brother's neck. What a mighty man of God.
Yeah.
God has transformed that man's life. And that's a powerful thing. And if all y'all was close to us, we'd hug your neck too.
Amen.
Ready? Everybody just do it. Wait, hold on. If you want to turn your camera on, turn your camera on. Let's do this. Ready? Everybody give everybody a big hug. Make sure you dress decent before you turn your camera on. We're hugging your neck because we just love you guys. And we're glad that you're in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, thank you for your prayers for Wilkins Radio. And we just got to get that contract signed and take off on that and do the work that God's given us to do. I've learned so much in the last 3 months beyond what I already understood about God, life, and faith. And glad to have you with us. Now, just in case you might not like my big Harley Davidson patch, it doesn't matter. I like my new shirt, so you're going to see it all the time. I will wash it. Well, maybe not. Sister Leanne will probably wash it, but... And besides that, what else have we got to talk about tonight? Anything? Have I got anything hanging fire here? Nothing? Ready? We're just ready to go.
Hi, Sunday.
Sunday Geyser.
With us.
Over on YouTube.
Yep.
Bless you, Sunday. You're such a wonderful blessing to this ministry.
Yes, she is.
We love you and appreciate you and appreciate all your faith and your prayers. Appreciate all of the faith. Your prayers. And there, that's what I got to get done right there. I've got seed. You're going to hear me sing that song. You might as well figure out what the song's all about because I'm just going to keep singing it. It's powerful in the ground. And I am reaping the harvest right now. Want to say it with me? I am reaping the harvest.
I am reaping.
Right now. Okay, Blog Talk Radio's going. YouTube's going. Zoom is going. People will be sharing this. Oh, that's what I knew. I had one more thing to say. Do you remember what those numbers were? Wow, there goes the fire truck. He's been wherever he was a long time.
What numbers?
for YouTube. Watch this. In the last 28 days, we've had 1,194 views of our YouTube channel. 1,194 views in 28 days.
Isn't that awesome?
Now,
and you guys all helped make
and,
it happen.
And you guys are, this is what I want you to see. I knew I had one more thing to say. This is what I want you to see. You have seed in the ground that's producing a harvest right now, because you guys are the ones that helped us do this. And this last 3 months been a pretty tough run.
Yeah.
And you've stood alongside of us and made it happen. And in the last 28 days, after everything, 1,194 views in 28 days. I mean, somebody do the math on that, what that is. Divide 1,194 by 28 and put that in there. 299 hours of viewing. And that's, and I all of a sudden found the analytics. Now, I don't know what nation you're in or any of the rest of that yet, but thank God that we're able to be a blessing to this many different people.
Yeah.
And
it's probably just all of my nieces and nephews and grandchildren.
It's all right. It's good. May that be the case, because this is what we know. We are doing the work that God's given us to do, and we know fly, die. Want to help me, love?
Yeah. Glad to.
It, don't.
Hello, Dan. 4279, Sam. 4279.
That's
42.79.
42.7 views a day. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Thank you,
and
Lord.
Thank you, Dan. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. But wait, thank you, Dan, for them mathematics. Thank you, Sister Phyllis, for saying it. And thank you, Jesus, for giving us the assignment. We're glad we got it.
Amen.
And we're glad to be faithful. Now, I want us to think about this right here. Every one of you, including Blog Talk Radio and YouTube, every one of you that continually come here, anybody's spiritual life that grew during that period of time is connected to you in heaven. It's written in your book because you're sowing the seed of your time, talent, and treasure right here. And we thank you for it. We truly, truly, truly thank you for it. And we love you for it. And we appreciate, we truly do, we appreciate all of your faith that goes into this program in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I'm finished, and I'm ready to get started. Go ahead, Brother Dan. You got something you're going to say? Dan's like, nope, just didn't get the mute button on. It's all right. It's all right. So, let's open up our Bibles tonight to, man, I got so many places I want to go. So, somebody write a verse list, because this is not going to come out like I have it in my notes. Make sure we get a verse list tonight. I want to go... Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 16, Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 15. And then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 10. All right, here we go. Keep feeling like there's something else I got to do on here. Am I missing something?
I don't think so.
Bluetooth radio is very much connected.
So is YouTube.
Have you all enjoyed Bluetooth radio lately? And just for the record, Sister Leanne is right of how you pronounce that name. King Ahaz Urias. There's not two. There's not two R's. There's only one. Here we go. Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession. Get into the Word of God. Tonight's message is, teaching is, the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Ready? Oh, wait. I can, I'm not sure what this is all about, but I can share this screen. There you go. So let's all say it together at the same time. You ready? It's on the screen. You can see it right there. YouTube and those of you on Zoom. Let's make our confession over the Word of God. This is my Bible. I believe what God's Word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because He is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making His Word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the Word of God and plant Him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, then we delete the share, and we should be right back here. Look at her. Look at her!
You made it.
I did it. Now, I know some of you are like, Pastor, you kind of do this all the time. But there's just been a while here. Here we go. We're going to start, and we're going to do some reading, because I've just come to where I just love to read the Word. And you know, as much as I know about God, it better all be based in the Word of God, because in the day that we live, deception is going to run everywhere. That's what Jesus said. Deception will be the number one force that causes people to fail in the end, and they'll be deceived because there'll be a famine of the Word, not because there's nobody teaching the Word, because people fill their life with something else besides the Word of God. And so we invite you tonight to join with us as we read the Word. The first place we're going to go is the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus as He's teaching the people there, and the message we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, now, I've always pictured this as being a whole multitude of people. But this says His disciples. But maybe His disciples were more than just the 12 that had been following Him ever since Cana of Galilee. Just thought this. Get this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's do this. Let's try this in the,
Passion, yeah.
In the Passion translation. I just saw it sitting there, so I'm like, yeah, that might be a good thing. Just do it. Yeah, we're just rolling with the flow here. Come on now. One more page. I know you can do it. Matthew chapter 5.
Oh, my goodness.
What happiness comes to you when you feel your spiritual poverty? For yours is the realm of heaven's kingdom. Now, I know this is way different than what you're reading, but just stick with me. What a delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord, for you will find what you long for, hunger and thirst after righteousness. What blessing comes to you when gentleness lives in you, for you will inherit the earth. How enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be satisfied. How blessed are you when you demonstrate tender mercy, for tender mercy will be demonstrated to you. What bliss you experience when your heart is pure. Wow. For then your eyes will open to see more and more of God. How joyful you are when you make peace, for then you will be recognized as a true child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
How enriched you are when persecuted for doing what is right, for then you experience the realm of heaven's kingdom. How blessed are you when people insult and persecute you and speak all kinds of cruel lies about you because of your love for me. So leap for joy, since your heavenly reward is great, for you are being rejected the same way the prophets were before you. Your lives are like salt among the people. But if you, like salt, become bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless salt is good for nothing and will be thrown out and trampled on by others. Verse 14. Your lives light up the world. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? Now, I got a word for you about that. Think about this right here. This is the first time I thought about this. The New King James says a city set on a hill cannot be hid. But here where we are, you can not have a city anywhere. And you can have one flare on one oil well, and it'll light up a whole mile.
Oh, yeah.
Not a city set on a hill. One flare, one oil well, one 8-inch pipe. And if they got that high enough off the ground, which they have to do, it will literally light up a whole mile with that one light. Not a whole city, just one light. What does your one light light up where you are, where God placed you? That's a powerful, pretty powerful statement, isn't it?
It is.
What verse am I in?
15.
15.
No, 16.
And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so that your commendable works will shine as light upon them. And then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. Now, I know that's where I said I was going to end, but I got to add a couple more. Jesus said, if you think I've come to set aside the law of Moses or the writings of the prophet, you're mistaken. I have come to bring perfection, to bring to perfection all that has been written. Indeed, I assure you, as long as heaven and earth endure, not even the smallest detail of the law will be done away with until its purpose is complete. So whoever violates even the least important of the commandments and teaches others to do so, that's a scary thought. Because there's a whole bunch of teachers that are teaching people to do so. Will be called least in heaven's kingdom. Whoever obeys them and teaches their truths to others will be called great in heaven's kingdom. I tell you, unless your lives are more pure and full of integrity than the religious scholars and the Pharisees, you will never enter heaven's kingdom. Wow.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 6. You guys know what's going to happen if we stay there. We'll just preach on that for a while. Fly, I command you to die. Matthew chapter 6, watch this. Examine your motives to make sure you're not showing off when you do your good deeds. Why are you doing and saying what you're doing? Remember, the first thing Jesus does in our life when we get born again, the first thing he does is he helps us by washing us, making us white as snow, and then he begins to deal with the outward sins that everybody can see. The next thing he deals with is the inward sin that nobody sees. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he deals with our attitude that causes us to have that inward sin. And then he deals with our motives. Why are you having that attitude that's causing you to do that, that's causing this? So, though I like the way this says it right here. Examine your motives to make sure you're not showing off when you're doing your good deeds. Now, I know that there's been some people who've said that every time I talk about how many viewers or how many nations or whatever, they've said, I'm showing off. I ain't showing off. If you only knew how little I've done to make that happen, you realize that this ain't nothing but the grace of God that's making all this go happen, because I've not done anything. I've not spent a dollar on an ad. And that's not done anything. So it's the glory of God. But it's encouraging to people to realize, hey, wait, what we're doing is truly reaching out there and touching people. But there are a lot of people that talk numbers on purpose to build their life and to build some big thing and to make themselves be important. That is why you and I got to examine our own motives. Why do we want to be seen? Part of our life would cause us to have that desire that we would be seen. Well, it could be from a deficiency in your childhood of someone recognizing you. You know, there's all kinds of reasons. The most important thing is, remember that whatever you do, whether in word or deed, make sure you're doing it for the glory of God, because your reward doesn't come from man.
Amen.
Your reward comes from God. When you do what you do to be seen by men, that's the only reward you get right then, is those men seeing you, and you've lost your reward on the other side. Well, you're not going to see me standing around going, no, I'm not going to do that. I mean, unless you come on here and make a mess. But there's a lot of times you see people show up on YouTube, and I'll delete them because they just want to come on here and fight and argue, and I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. And you're not going to do that here.
Right.
So I just delete you and put you on pause and then welcome you to come back a little later, having learned your lesson not to do that. Why? Because everything we do here is for one purpose only, and that's to establish you in your faith. When you realize the way the Word of God says it, the only thing I have to your spiritual growth is I am God's next master builder, building on the foundation that's already been built in your life. And if you don't have any foundation, then I'm the one that's giving you that foundation, because on the other side, God's going to judge every leader that you've ever been received from on how they built. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I think it's verses 9 through 16, whatever it is, 9 through the end of the chapter, where it talks about being at the judgment seat of Christ, where our works will be tried by fire. There's no hoodwinking God. There's no pulling one over on God. On that day, truth and only truth will be in that room, because it'll be Jesus. Enough preaching. I've not even preached about the glory of the Lord yet. Here we go. Matthew chapter 6. Examine your motives to make sure you're not showing off when you do your good deeds, only to be admired by others. Otherwise, you will lose the reward of your heavenly Father. When you give to the poor, don't announce it and make a show of it just to be seen by people, like the hypocrites in the streets and in the marketplace. They've already received their reward. When you demonstrate generosity, do it with pure motives and without drawing attention to yourself. Now, who did I see the other day? Well, we saw Dr. Winston last night going to the 10 cities.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Now, he is telling everybody what he's doing in those cities, not to draw attention to himself, to help you realize if you want to sow into that city, get some seed, get some financial seed into his hand, because he's going into that city, and everybody that's connected to that will be a blessing. It will be added to your account in heaven. So he's saying it to get some seed in there. Besides that, it's giving glory to God. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And the man's heart is pure. He's not standing around going, well, you look at what we did. He's like, I'm going to go do this. All y'all get your money in here, and we can do it bigger, and we can do it better, and we can bless more people, and it'll have greater excellence. Very few ministries you see are as excellent as what that ministry is. That ministry has a level of excellence that's wow. It's that set of verses about Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. When the Queen of Sheba saw the order of Solomon's court, the clothes they were wearing, read it, she had no breath left in her. She fainted because of the order and the excellence. And that's what happens when you get to, that's why when you see Dr. Winston's team, they ain't up there in torn up jeans and holy t-shirts. Isn't it something that their worship is filled with the glory of the Lord every time? You will hear a flap in the background, and that is Sister Leanne, the fly killer, on the loose.
Well, in what was the bishop's name that came up to explain what RISE was? Like he said, all of us are not able to go in ourselves and accomplish all that they do, but by sowing your seed in it, you're helping to accomplish that.
Here we go. I'm in Matthew chapter 6, and let's go down here to verse number 5, I think. Whenever you pray, be sincere and not like the pretenders who love the attention they receive while praying before others in the meetings and on street corners. You know, God is never going to give you a prayer that will bring glory to yourself. He just isn't going to do it. Believe me, they've already received the reward. Very effective. Believe me, they've already received the reward. But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with God, except when you're leading in the church. You can't go in your innermost chamber when you're leading in church. You got to pray in front of people. That's why, what is the motive of your heart? That's the most important thing. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you saying what you're saying? And if we're, since we're one with the Father, we will only do what we see our Father do, and we will only say what we hear our Father say.
Amen.
Watch. No, I got it. Verse. And you're, let's see. Why do they put these translations with no verses where you can see? But, verse 6. Whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father God. Praying to him in secret. Mary Pastorek. And your Father, who sees all you do, will reward you openly. When you pray, there's no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like the Gentiles do, for they expect God to hear them because of their many words. There is no need to imitate them, since your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this. This is the prayer. And many people call it the Lord's Prayer, but I heard Brother Hagin say it's really the disciples' prayer. Because Jesus wouldn't say, forgive me of my sins, because he didn't sin. This is a disciple prayer. Our beloved Father dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Woo! Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on the earth. Confession worthy. Put this in the confession.
Yeah.
Just as it is in heaven, we acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Forgive us of the wrongs we have done as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation and set us free from evil and the evil one. For you are the King who rules with power and glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
And when you pray, make sure you forgive the faults of others so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you withhold forgiveness from others, your Father withholds forgiveness from you. If you withhold forgiveness from others, Father will withhold forgiveness from you. Now, that was Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and the Disciples' Prayer. Now, let's take Jesus' ministry on in and go to Matthew 10. No, let's not do Matthew 10. Let's go to Psalm 72 and then Matthew 10. Psalm 72. Somebody shout, I love the word. Have we heard a message back from Mary yet?
She just came on.
Mary, if you can join with us, you can make your mic loud so we can hear you. We'd love to hear from you.
I love the word. I love the majestic word of God.
Now, don't be yelling and jumping around, Mary. You probably got stuff in you.
I know. The nurses came in and checked. That because I was so bad, they had to go through both loins with catheters or whatever they used to go in.
Uh-huh.
And they're afraid of the bleeding because that's the main artery in your groin. So they've been checking that pretty close. And she just came in tonight and said they were okay.
Good.
Got me all ready for evening to go to sleep. And so I'm going to turn on Zoom. And it wouldn't work, and then I messed with it, and I had to get on the internet here at the hospital.
Oh,
hopefully, if I don't spring a leak in my bandages, I can go home tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
God is good. God is good.
God is good.
God. All the time. I can see where God has had a hand in this from day one.
Yay.
When I accidentally doctors to fill a prescription, and he says, I think we better have he checked me out, changed my medicine, and he says, I think we better do a heart cath on you. And if they hadn't have, they would have never realized I was totally blocked like I am. And, you know, things could happen. So God's got a hand in this.
God is good.
Well, let's pray, Father. We bless our sister Mary.
Yes.
With your blessing and your goodness. What a powerful testimony. Your voice sounds so clear
and
so strong right now. And as we've said all along through this, we declare life and life more abundantly in every cell, every tissue, every joint. Thank you that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of our sister Mary's life, giving her life. Heart, be renewed.
Perfect.
As Dr. Winston prophesied last night, brand new hearts. As in the age of a 16-year-old, we speak that to our sister in a mighty, miraculous healing. Now that we see every bit of these miracles, we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you the praise. Thank you, Father. She was able to connect. We declare all the connections are solid and secure. And in great strength right here, right now, today for our sister. And her sleep will be blessed and sweet tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Now, any of the rest of you?
Amen.
Does anybody else have a prayer that God gave you while I was praying? Pray for your health and strength. Go ahead.
A lot of them have online, and I'm so thankful for all of those prayers that were texted to me.
Love it.
Hallelujah. Well, all right. We're in our the title of our study tonight is The Earth Will Be Filled with the Glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Mary, for coming on and letting us hear your voice. We love you.
We do.
I'll let you hear my voice. I'm sure not going to let you see my picture right now.
We don't want to see the picture. There ain't nothing wrong with you, but it's like, I heard Brother Hagin, one of the great leaders, faith leaders said, when I walk into a hospital and see all those hoses, I'm not the man of faith you want at the end of your bed. just call me from the hospital and I pray for you over the phone. I got all the word of faith in the world over the phone. I one time was in an emergency room. And they asked me to come and pray for this guy that he would live and not die, you know, and he's had a heart attack or whatever the deal was. You know, I'm standing there, and that they got that monitor right above his head, and they kept going, nah, 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 and I'm like, oh, he's dying right here. He's dying right here. I just know in the name of Jesus, live. And like, oh, somebody turn the stupid thing off.
Yeah.
I could make it funny right now, but I'm not going
And all it was is the way the guy was moving.
Oh.
And another time it was going crazy, and the nurse came in and said, you got your hand on the monitor lead.
Getting mixed rhythms here, huh?
One time I'm praying for a lady, and I open my eyes, and she's got the most horrible look on her face. When I get done praying, she said, Pastor, you were squeezing my hand so hard it hurt.
God bless her.
It's just some of the things you learn as you go. All right. Thank you, Mary, for joining us. That's just awesome.
So happy.
So happy, happy, happy. We're happy to have you here. And now we have gone to Psalm number 72. So here we go. And let's go down here to, let's just read it.
This program puts me to sleep. I'll say goodnight now, but I'm going to stay on.
Okay.
If we hear you snoring, we'll just be like, oh, that's Mary. She's just snoring. That's a good sign. That's a good sign.
Yeah, I haven't been able to sleep well. So if I happen to fall asleep while your program's on, don't get offended.
We won't.
We will not.
And we'll ask the angels to mute the volume so you don't wake up when we shout. Here we go. Psalm 72. Thank you, Mary. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. This is Solomon praying this. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. Want to say it with me? Break in pieces the oppressor,
break in pieces
Lord.
The oppressor, Lord.
Amen. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. To this day, since Solomon wrote this, this is probably 2,500 years before Jesus. This writing is 4,000 years old. Look what it says. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. It's awesome. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Righteousness brings peace, and the moon is still there. Glory be to God. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. Now, who's he talking about? But Jesus, right? He will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life. That's a financial term. Redemption is not complete without financial provision. Somebody write it in. Redemption is not complete without financial provision. Redemption is not just the salvation of your soul. The word redeem is a financial term. People like, my. Let's keep reading. He shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually. And daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth on the top of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. There's a promise for some of you. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the earth be filled with the glory of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And then Solomon says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now Solomon is the one that put it together, and he's reading David's prayer. May the earth be filled with the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Now, I like adding these minor prophets. Go ahead.
Redemption is not complete without a financial reward.
Without financial provision.
Provision.
Habakkuk chapter 2. Redemption is not complete without financial provision. Now, I know that stretches a lot of people, but the only thing it stretches is that religious bone in the inside of you. Because your spirit man reaches out and grabs it immediately. It's your soulish realm been trained by the spirit of religion that opposes it. Your spirit man says, well, yeah, that's my father. I'm one with him. Reach out and receive it. Your soulish realm is the one that opposes that, saying, well, how dare you say redemption? It has anything to do with money. It doesn't have anything to do with money. It has to do with provision. God doesn't want to just redeem you from sin. He wants to crush poverty and bring you abundance and blessing. Habakkuk chapter 2. And let's go down here to 12 through 14.
Elaine!
Elaine!
Good
hey,
to see you
happy Sunday
us.
To you, Elaine. It's got to be Sunday over there already.
Woo!
Just so everybody knows, Samoan Islands just checked in right there. I just love it. We love to see you here, man. How good is a good word from a foreign country? Cold glass of water on a hot day. Here we go. I'm in Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 12. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed.
Wow.
Who establishes a city by iniquity. That's a verse against every mayor of every large city that is doing it with iniquity and the mob and destruction and gangs and unions and all the rest of it. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire and nations weary themselves in vain? 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, which is the Beatitudes, the Disciples' Prayer, Jesus teaching about all of the principles of the greatest form of our Christian life. When we read that and we see it, we realize if all of us who are born again are the believers would just function this way with no religiosity, we would win the whole world. Because who wouldn't want to be like us? We would be filled with love and happiness and joy and peace and strength and power and might and dominion and provision. Everything we would do would be blessed and touch the gold. Remember, matter of fact, let's just go there right now. I heard Dr. Leroy Thompson say it the other night. Well, if you want to start that argument with me, here we go. Let's just go there. Deuteronomy 28. Who's arguing with you? I don't know. It's probably none of you because all y'all receive it. But somebody's arguing out there in the future somewhere with me saying, well, you know, and God, what do you want God to bless you for? Because that's who he is. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord, like the waters cover the sea. Watch this. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 3. I could read all 13, but we'll just do 1 through 3. It'll come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all of the commands which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Setting us high? God. Set yourself high, you're going to fall on your face, scuff your nose. God, let God do it, he'll set you high. 2, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. What will you be? A city set on a hill that can't be hid. You'll be salt in every conversation. You'll be the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. He said that about you because why? He's going to live inside of us. And when he's in here, the light of the world comes out. The glory of God comes out. Watch this. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Well, then where ain't you going to be blessed? Because you're going to be blessed in the city and in the country. Well, you wouldn't be blessed in the suburbs, Pastor, because that's not quite the country and it's not quite the city. You see how that religion demon works on you? Well, I know God wants to bless me, but he's going to bless me all the time. I can hear this person talking right now. It's a religious demon. Stop talking those words.
Yeah.
God wants to bless you 24/7, 365. Redemption is not complete without financial provision.
The suburbs are still the city.
The suburbs are still the city? And some people in the suburbs says, oh, no, it's not. It's the country.
Yeah, let them live in the swamps for a while. Yeah, go into Africa and see what they change their mind for.
All right, now let's go to our next verse. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Right. Tonight's word is God wants to cover this earth with his glory. But there's only one way he's going to do it, and that's through you, and that's through me. Matthew chapter 10. I know I had it marked here. Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to read 1 through 26. Matthew 10, 1 through 26. And while you're going there, I got to check another verse. That one right there. Here we go. Anybody want to shout, I love the word? I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word. Amen. We can hear you shouting it. Don't try worrying about your pause button. Matthew 10, 1. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want the cities to be built on iniquity, which we just saw. He didn't want that. And you and I are the agent in this world that goes out. Cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you receive, freely you give. That's how it says. Verse 2. The names of the 12 apostles are these. Simon, who's called Peter. Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus. Labius, who his surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now Jesus sends them out, just like he's sending you and I out every single day. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. That's a commandment. Cleanse the lepers, the AIDS, the cancer, the COVID. Yeah. I was at a gas station today in Montana, and next to me was a Cadillac Escalade, and the windows were all decorated. He's a country western music singer. And he's driving his own vehicle. And he's from Montana and got a daughter that lives here in Williston. And I'm like, how long you been doing this? Like 45 years. I'm like, dude, you ain't even that old. He goes, I've been doing this since I was 4 years old. Stood there and talked to him for quite a while. He goes, you know, it's one of the most interesting things I've ever seen. I still see COVID. He said, I was just in Iowa, and one county was open, and the next county was closed. I'm like,
wow.
Are you serious? Kidding. He goes, yeah, it's still closed. There's still places that are closed. Well, Jesus just said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. I speak to every county and every city that's still closed by this stupidity of COVID I command you in the name of Jesus, be opened up and made whole.
Amen. Immediately.
We command you, take the mask off and let the herd immunity build in your community, and let us build our immune systems up in the mighty name of Jesus. You stop tearing them down. You're a wicked, perverse person that is causing this to go on. We render your power powerless. And as the psalm says, may another take your office immediately.
Amen.
And you no longer have that position. We speak it over large cities, small cities, little tiny burgs. We rebuke the fear that comes with COVID in the mighty name of Jesus. And now we say that every person who may be having symptoms of COVID, we call you healed in Jesus' mighty name. We render the demon powerless. We've already done this over and over and over, thousands of times. We render your power, your power. We render COVID powerless.
Yeah.
We declare life and life more abundantly into every hospital, into every nursing home, into every house, into every clinic, into every city where there's any fear of this thing, and somebody's stirring it up and making it go again on purpose. We rebuke you. May you fall into your own ditch and be destroyed because of your destruction of mankind. And may you come to your senses before you take your last breath in that ditch and turn to our God.
Amen.
I'm in Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now he's doing this with his 12 disciples as he's getting ready to send them out into the places and the cities where he was going to be going. He wanted them to get in there first, build the understanding of God so that when he showed up, they could have mighty, marvelous miracles happen. Verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor a bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food, his hire. Whatever city or town you enter into, inquire who in that city is worthy, and stay there till you go out. When you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. Wow. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for that land, of the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the day of judgment than for that city.
Wow.
Major principle to understand right there. We'll come back to it. Say this, Jesus is sending me out.
Somebody
type it in. Jesus is sending me out. Wow. When you realize this, you will realize that God is teaching every one of us to pay attention of what house we're in, and who's in that house, and what the spirit of that house is all about. Because if they're not receiving us, and they don't want what we have, Jesus is saying, keep moving, because there's all kinds of people on this earth who are receiving all that you have. They want everything we have. Now, I've just muted the mic because I'm getting the background noise from somebody, and I'm not sure who that is. Man, that's a powerful principle. Deal with it? All right. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, think about this. Everywhere you and I go, if we're functioning in righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost like we're supposed to be, then we bring righteousness, joy, and peace wherever we go. We're going to lift the atmosphere.
Yes.
And when people don't receive that, God will have you stay there for a portion, a time. It might be a day. It might be an hour. It might be a week. But there's too many people in this world that want what you and I have, who is Jesus, for us to stand around and try to force somebody into believing who is resisting the work of God.
Right.
Let's read these verses again. I'm in Matthew chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. Now watch what this says. Whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. God wants you staying with people that are worthy. Well, Pastor, aren't we all worthy? Nope. Ain't a single one of us worthy. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But don't pause there, because that's not a period in Paul's writing. That's a comma. I think it's a comma. Isn't it a comma? I'm getting ready to say it. Yeah, it's a comma. And verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace to the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of those who stand in faith in Jesus. Now listen. Jesus is teaching you in verse 11 right here. Inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. When you go into a household, greet it. How do you do that? Hi, house. You send your peace in, okay? Let your peace come upon it. If it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Whoever will not receive you nor hear your words. That's why your words have to be seasoned with grace. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's why we just read the Beatitudes, and that's why we just read the Lord's Prayer, because what is that dealing with? That's dealing with the motives that's down here in your heart, because that's going to affect the words that come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Now, they may not understand everything you're saying or doing, but they receive you. This is just one of those times where you have to just pause and seal it. Is Roman stuck somewhere? Whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart, shake off. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Solomon and Gomorrah in a day than for you in this city. You and I have got to make sure that we're not just wasting a bunch of time in a place where we're not received. There's thousands upon thousands of people who want what we have. To spend any of our time trying to force somebody to want what we have and they don't want it, that's just not what you want. That's just not what you want. And how do you do it? You send your peace in. I want to look at another set of verses right here by the Holy Spirit's leadership. Say this with me. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Go ahead. You can turn your mic right on and say it. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Luke chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. Luke 6, 8 through 13. Somebody type that into YouTube. Sister Land stepped out of the room for a minute. Luke 6, 8 through 13. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. But to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He also said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. Whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah that day in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. Now, let's go to Luke 21. I want to read each of these so we hear what each of these writers of the New Testament said. Luke 21. All right, so it's not in this one. But let's read this. Luke 21,7 through 19. This is Jesus. No, this is not Jesus sending out the 12. I'm not sure why they put this in there. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Wait, I want to read that anyways, even though that's the wrong chapter. So when we're finished, tell me to go to Luke 9, okay?
All right.
Luke 10. Jesus is sending me out. Amen. Watch this. Luke 21. I want to read this. 7 through 19. So they ask him, saying, Teacher, when will these things be and what will be the sign? Will there, and what sign? Just read the words on the page. Let me just pause for a second here. Get another drink of coffee. I'm fired up. How about being in the studio here? Here we go. What will be the sign if these things about to take place? Take heed that you do not be deceived. That means read your Bible. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm he, and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go out after them. When you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. He literally says, do not be terrified. That means you and I should be at peace right now, waving at people. Hey, quit being afraid. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. And we just read it in Deuteronomy 28. The earth's going to be filled with the glory of the Lord, and you and I are going to be set above all the nations of the earth because we walk with God, blessed in the city and in the field and everything we put our hand to. Luke 21:10. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilences. There'll be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You'll be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom. There's a lot of people that have a mouth, but there's a lot fewer people that have a mouth and wisdom. There's a lot of mouthy people that want to be heard, and they want to be sharp and crass and cross, and they're scorners and mockers is what they are.
Yeah.
They're belittling and condemning. And there's a big difference here in having a mouth and wisdom. God said he's going to give you wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. So if that wisdom's not coming out of your mouth, shut your mouth so you don't be seen as a fool. Proverbs says it's better to be silent and thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even before parents and brethren, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. They will literally put some of you to death. and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Not a hair of your head shall be lost. Now wait a minute. Don't stop. By your patience, possess your souls. It's our soulish realm, our mind, our willpower, and our emotion that is literally getting in our way on a daily basis. It's our soulish realm that has been trained by the spirit of religion. Your spirit man has not been trained by the spirit of religion. Your spirit man has been longing for God Almighty's leadership in your life. And the moment you're born again, your spirit man's like, yeah. And then it becomes perfectly in tune at one with Almighty God. So the only battle that goes on the inside of you is between your spirit and Akabesa. You letting your soulish realm overpower what the spirit of God is telling you is his will for your life. Some people will never win that battle till they get to heaven. They will get to heaven, but they'll fight it all their life because the spirit of religion has caused you to be soulish in your understanding, mind, will, and emotion, rather than letting the spirit lead. And literally more than that is your spirit man telling your soul and your body what to do. Your body is your servant to carry you, the spirit, around on this earth and bring subjection and bring this earth into dominion under Jesus and his authority. Go into all the world, preach, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. That's what all of our assignments is in Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. By your patience, that is an understood subject that's not written in there. By your patience, you possess your souls. I can't. I've spent way too many years trying to help people and actually make people possess their souls. Guess what? If they don't want to possess their own soul, there ain't a thing you can do about it. Got to learn it real quick. You can't make anybody walk with God when they don't want to. No. You'll just frustrate yourself. Luke chapter 10. And we'll read 1 through 12. I love the word. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. Oh, this is the 70 he's sending out. He sent them out 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, the harvest truly is great. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Who's the Lord of the harvest? Jesus. Lord of the harvest, that's Jesus. Verse 3, go your way. I send you as lambs among wolves. But wait, unafraid of the wolf.
Amen. Unafraid.
When the wolf is going, you go, and the wolf looks at you like, I can't eat that little lamb. No, you can't. Verse 4, carry neither money bag, knapsack, sandal. Greet no one along the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Wow. This is a pretty powerful revelation right here. Your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as set before you. Heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. The earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And from tonight's lesson, one of the reasons that the glory of the Lord is not filled in many cities is people do not use this process of saying peace to the city and sending their peace into a home and sending their peace into where they go. And it's like Brother Jesse said, he said, I don't do business with wicked people for the church, and I don't let wicked people come in and do work here, because if you don't know my God and you don't know the Holy Spirit, you're going to be in opposition to the spirit that's in this place the whole time you're here, and you won't have enough sense to know what to do. I love Jesse's story about when they were building the church, the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he wanted no pillars inside the building. And, of course, they designed it, and the architect said it's possible, and they did this. And then when they're putting it together, they're like, something ain't working here. And they got in there, and they said, sir, we're going to have to put a pillar right here. And he said, there will be no pillars here. There's going to be a pillar. He said, no, there will not be a pillar. No, everybody come here. All the drywallers and electricians and everybody. And he reached out and took everybody's hand and said, I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. Somebody's going to get an answer right now. God's going to speak to you how we're going to do this. He held their hands. He prayed in Jesus' name, began to pray in the Holy Spirit till he felt released by God. When he got done, he said, all right, there. Now, which one of you heard from God? And, of course, there were sinner contractors in there, but they were all working for a believer. And the drywaller goes,
I know.
I don't know if I heard from God, but this thought came to me. And he said, and if you do this, this, and this, and this, and they're like, oh, yeah, there it is. And Brother Jesse looked at him and said, sir, you just heard from God. And in a matter of minutes had won him to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Help us be that bold, Lord.
Amen.
Help us be that bold. This message is filled with revelation. I hope you're getting it. Where's the next verse I was going to? Did I tell you? Well, by now you should have already understood. Isaiah 28. Wow. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord unless you and I are not doing what God's given us to do, and then it won't be done. How many cities in this nation have a multitude of pastors who believe in God, pray in the Holy Spirit, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, and their city is going to hell? It's being built by iniquity. Why? They're not doing what Jesus said. You got to shake the dust off your feet. It may not be in the whole city. It may just be in the city council meeting. That brings judgment immediately, which changes the effect of everything. Don't stay in a house where you don't have, where you're not welcome and you don't have peace. Real quiet tonight. It's a very interesting spirit here tonight. But this is a good word. Let's read this. Verse 9 through 13. Did I give you that? Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Who will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. Notice that he is capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
To whom he said, this is the rest with which the weary, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. It doesn't say they could not hear. It says they would not hear. They made a choice. I will not hear this. But the word of the Lord to them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught.
Wow.
Jesus said in the parable of the talents, to him that has revelation, more will be given. And to him that does not have, even what he has will be taken away. It won't be taken away by Jesus. It'll be taken away by the enemy, because he will hit you with fiery dart. And until you turn and say, you get off my life, get out of my life, I'm standing on the word and begin to speak the word, that enemy's going to fight you for every ounce of faith you ever had until it's gone. And every time you surrender and give up another piece of faith, you lose your place in God. Not because God wants you to, because you won't confront that enemy and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, I just want to be born again, and that's all I want to do. I just want to love God and just sit in my house and just love God. That's not God's assignment. Everybody has somebody they can reach. Isaiah chapter 60. Wow, what a night. Isaiah chapter 60, and of course, whenever you read Isaiah chapter 60, you have to read Isaiah chapter 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, and 65. You just don't start until you just read it all. Like Sister Phyllis would say, start with like Isaiah 53 and read all 11 chapters, because it's that powerful. It's about Jesus, about the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to read
the great amen.
Bless you, Roger. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not stalling. I'm just like, we might as well just read this. I think we're probably going to read the whole chapter, but let's go down 1 through 14 at least. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Everybody want to say it? My light has come. My light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.
Glory risen upon me.
This.
Amen.
Now see, if you and I, if we just like, well, you know, all I did was get born again, Pastor. That's all I did. That's not like I became an amazing Christian and I'm gonna conquer the world. I just got born again. No, you just received God Almighty living on the inside of you, giving you life and strength and health and peace and blessing and leading you from the inside out. That's what you just got. Here's the revelation of it. The church, many people, many leaders in the church have said the only thing that's important is to be born again. And that is just an erroneous doctrine. I know what they're trying to teach is people to get born again, but you can't believe that that's all that's important. You have to believe that the first step in your Christian life is you must be born again. The first step of your Christian life is you must be born again. And then from there, you must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the exceeding great and precious promises, you become a partaker of the very divine nature of God. See, nobody gets to just get born again and then just sit there and look pretty. That's the teaching of the bride of Christ that is so out of order in the body, because they've taught the body, you're the bride. Well, what's a bride supposed to do? They're supposed to sit around, look pretty, and be all dressed up fancy. But we're not in bride mode. That bride thing's going to happen on the day that the holy city comes out of heaven and comes down to the new heaven and the new earth. And that's the day the bride's going to be the bride. Until then, you and I are the body. See, we're a part of the groom. We're not a part of the bride. Hold on. I just I got that Dr. Leroy thing going again. Oh, you want to start that argument with me? Let's just go there. You are not the body of the bride. You are the body of the groom. I can see look at some people's faces. I'm the bride of Christ, and you're not going to convince me anyway. I have to do nothing. I'm teaching you the word. Are you the body of the Christ? Is the Christ the groom or the bride? Jesus is the groom. And we are the body of Christ. We'll get off that doctrine now. And we'll tell you to open up your Bible and study it. And like really
okay.
Seriously.
I'm not in kindergarten any longer. But I am the body of Christ. Okay? I am the body of Christ. Whatever you want to say. And however you want to do it. I am the bride of Christ. And he's going to come back for me. And he's going to say, hello, Phyllis. You're going to be with me forever. Come play with your grandchildren in heaven. Yeah, that's the way it's going to be.
Well, yeah,
that's made up.
That's the answer. We are going to go to heaven, but I am challenging this understanding.
I'm going to stroll
because,
across the clouds.
Oh, yeah, you sure will. But when it comes to the bride of Christ, we got to teach the right doctrine. Because teaching any other doctrine besides what this Bible teaches leads people astray. This word is very specific. And what God has caused me to do.
I'm the hands and feet of Christ right now, but I'm still the bride of Christ. So don't get them mixed up, honey. Bride and groom are one.
Okay. So that we don't take this conversation farther, this is the way it has to be. And if you are wanting to oppose what I'm teaching, then talk to me afterwards. I don't have a bad spirit. I'm teaching the Word of God. I'm teaching the Word of God. And I'm teaching it very much on purpose because it's the erroneous teaching that causes us to be weak. And it's what must bring all of us to when you know the truth will set you free. And that's what we do every time we're here. Is establishing our faith. And that's the process that always goes on here. Every time we grow up, every time we go up, we establish our faith and become stronger and more blessed in the things of God.
Yeah. Amen.
And this is why you and I are continually saying, wait, what does the Bible actually say? What does it actually say right here on the pages of this book? And then when we believe what it actually says, then we actually get what the Bible says is ours to have. And that is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. And thank God for that great revelation that we got. I'm in Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 2. Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people of the earth. The Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. His glory can't be seen unless the glorious word of God dwells inside of you and I, richly. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's go down here to verses 11 and 12. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And the word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. You and I submit ourselves to this word every time we come here. It's the power of who we are. It's what has continually brought us closer and closer to the things of God, and it's what continually takes us deeper into the things of God, is that we look at ourselves and we say, I have to see what this says in my life. And you know what? That's the glory. See, that's what we're reading right here. I'm, for some reason, having trouble finding that verse. Let the word of God, the word dwell in you richly in all wisdom and something and spiritual understanding. It's got to be Paul. But for some reason, I'm having trouble with it. Sister Leanna, find that for me. This word, though, we can see it right here. Jesus said all those things about the glory of God shining in us as he sends us out. Isaiah prophesied it 2,000 years before Jesus, or 1,000 years before Jesus. And he said, arise, shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And now you and I have the word, and it is alive and well. Colossians 3:16. Yes, that's exactly what it is. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let's read it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the word dwell in you richly. If you look at how many verses of scripture that we have read tonight, we are letting the word of God dwell in us richly. I'm making the word of God the very focus and center point of everything that we do here. I'm back to Isaiah chapter 60 in verse 2. The Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. In that day, the glory was on you. In our day, the glory is within us, shining out this way. His glory is within, shining out. Verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They will gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters will be nursed at your side. You will, look at what it says, then you shall see. You'll get a revelation of this book. You'll see it. See it with these eyes and these eyes. And you will become radiant, be bringing forth the glory of God in your life. You'll be radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They'll bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. The flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They will ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. In that day, where was the house of the glory? That was the temple.
Yeah.
Where's the house of his glory today?
Yeah.
Inside of you and me. That's why we started in the Beatitudes, having our attitude right, and then into the disciples' prayer, so we pray in right and live in right, forgive in right. And now we realize that God is doing everything in his power to glorify the house of his glory, and that's you and me. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You and I are. And that temple must be holy. Let's keep reading. I'm in verse number 8. Who are these who like a cloud and like doves to their roost, who fly like a cloud? The coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, in the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. In my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Your gates shall be open continually. They'll not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you. Cypress, the pine, the box tree together. Look what it says. To beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Now, number two, that's any building that God gives us and says, this one is designed for my glory.
Yeah.
And then don't just make it so it's only used once a week. That building is for the glory of God. It should have something going on in it every single day of the week. Just like you and I have Zoom and Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. And what do? We put something on here every single day of the week. Why? This is the place of God's glory, and we're going to be bringing glory to God every single day. Why? Because somebody needs something from God every single day. It's our process. You know what? When truly you and I take everything that God's given us and begin to use it specifically for the glory of God, all of a sudden, God really begins to do a mighty work in our life.
Amen.
14. All the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you. All those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet. And they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. I told you I was probably going to read the whole thing. Whereas you've been forsaken and hated so that no one went out through you, I'll make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Isn't it something that the next verse after the word Redeemer is, instead of bronze, I'll bring you gold.
Wow. Yeah.
Instead of iron, I'll bring you silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will also make your officers and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting or destruction within your border, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. How the earth going to be filled with his glory? But through your life and mine. As we go out into this world, preaching the gospel to every person who we can possibly reach in the mighty name of Jesus. You and I found diligently walking with our God every single day of our life in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, that's the word. I mean, I did a search just before we went live this evening, and it's another one of those searches that you can do in your Bible. I searched the phrase, the glory of the Lord, and that phrase is used 37 times in the Bible. 37 times it's used in the Bible. You know what that means? That means you and I should probably study the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Ready? Wait, I want you to get this. Based on what the Bible says. Not based on what I thought or you thought or Charles Wesley thought or D.L. Moody thought or Smith Wigglesworth thought or the rest of them thought. Let's read our Bible and believe what this book says. Why? Because if we just believe what's in this book, we will have the glory of the Lord that belongs to us for our generation. And you can see how God treats sin in his house, as you and I remember from Read the Word. Those guys brought profane worship into that house, and they died in the presence of the Lord. The glory of the Lord covered Mount Sinai for 6 days. Moses was up on top of that mountain for how many days?
Oh, my goodness.
40 days, came down, went back up for another 30. Joshua was up there somewhere in the midst of that glory going, whoa, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, that your promise says that the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That means every bit of this wickedness that's around us, you and I got to get the lid off our light. You and I got to get the religion out of our voice and out of our mouth and out of our lives. We got to give ourselves to the things of God and to his word.
Amen.
And his word is able to make us strong. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful promise of your peace and your blessing, and most of all, your glory in our life. Oh, there's so much that we can study on the glory. Tonight, we didn't even scratch the surface. We just wiped the surface to feel the glory, sense the wonder and the majesty and the blessing of Almighty God that you have brought to our life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That the glory is available to us. All we got to do is walk in your presence, walk in your path. Live in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And then just realize the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Oh, thank you. Thank you that Brother Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote so accurately what the Holy Spirit was telling us. That same Spirit lives inside of us, giving life to our mortal bodies and giving us life in everything we do We give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. The great amen.
The great amen.
And the big hallelujah. And Sister Rebecca would say, so my dad always said, glory be to God and a big kick. Amen. Now, we're going to receive our communion elements at this time. This is what we do every time we come here. We receive from the presence and power of Almighty God. Every time we come here, as instructed by the Holy Spirit, we receive communion. When he first told me to do it every night, I'm like, every night? Really? So we began to do it every night, and then he told me to do it twice in a night. And I'm like, wait a minute here. What are we doing? Well, that was during COVID, and we had these programs would last 4 or 5 hours every single night, but everybody was home with nothing to do, so we might as well study the Bible. Amen? And I call every bit of that word that's inside of those people that has taken root to come to life and grow and produce wonderful blessing of God in the lives
Amen.
Of the people
Amen.
That were a part of our program. Then they don't have the time to do it now, whatever. We bless them, and we declare that word transforms their lives every single day. So anyway, there came a point where we no longer did it twice in a night, but the Holy Spirit has always said, receive communion every single night. Why? Because we never know who has joined us for the first time. And now, what was it? 1,190 people or something? 1,200 people joined us in the last 28 days? We better make sure when we come to this point in our program at night that we're always receiving the communion elements. And not out of religiosity. That's the condition of our own heart. One person said, well, Pastor, if you do it that often, the communion elements won't mean anything. That's like saying eating eggs and toast won't mean anything because you've been eating them all your life. Well, that's not true. They're still going to produce the deliciousness that you like every day, and they're going to produce protein that you need in your body and that nourishment, and so will this. But where's the answer come? The answer comes from within inside of you, that you and I keep the awe and the wonder and the glory of the communion
Amen.
Elements. And that's about keeping it right in our own heart.
Amen.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. One more drink of coffee and then we'll begin to read. First Corinthians chapter 11. Mary's still with us.
Amen. I turned the mic on so I could take communion.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That's awesome. Here we go. First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, 16 through 19. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and blessed it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took this cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, his redemptive work. Then what's the process of communion? Let a man, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. What were we just talking about? We judge ourselves, we won't be judged. How do we have boldness? Because as he is, Jesus, he's on the throne by the Father, but where else is Jesus? He's in us. As he is, so are we in this world. I love this. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. You and I always say it, and perfect love casts out fear and the torment or the trauma that goes with it. Every time. Well, I have a 90-second lady show that. I make it as a faith statement. Every time we come here, we are going to say, trauma, your power is broken.
Amen.
From the lives of these people. And you foul spirit of sorcery, you do not get to function here because of the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and the word of God that is lifted high above every other name in this gathering of believers, this ecclesia, this body of Christ, in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
name. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, this is the prayer to pray. If you've been away from God and are coming back, you pray this prayer and mean it with all of your heart. In the next 2 minutes, you'll be right with God and ready to receive communion with no fear, because there should be no fear taking communion.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I
believe you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now here's where you and I got to be bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son.
And you
of
rose
God.
Again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands up and just say it. I receive all of your love and your mercy.
I receive all of your love and your
all of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all of you.
All of you, Lord.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So that I live in power.
So that I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen and amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or if it's the first time in many days, many for a long period of time that you've come back to God, I know that what's going on the inside of you, you're experiencing a change. Of course you would, because what has happened? God Almighty, through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, just filled your whole being. I know there's a lot of people like, what? God just filled me? Yeah. That's what happens when you are born again. Your spirit, man, comes alive under God, renewed to the Garden of Eden like Adam. Your spirit, man, is made one with Almighty God, and your being now receives him. Old things have passed away. All things become new. By the fact that you trusted me as a pastor, as a man of God, and followed this prayer that is very biblical that I led you into, you are now made one, made right with Almighty God. You said, by our leadership, fill me with all your love, mercy, grace, and righteousness. You didn't say, I lied, I cheat, I stole, I'm rebellious and I have a bad attitude. You didn't say all that, because none of that is important to God. What's important is that you have received Jesus and his blood and his righteousness, and all of that stuff is washed away. If I take this bottle and it's full of water and I pour more water into it, what's that water going to do? It's going to go all over the desk. And then Sister Leanne will be not happy. And if it gets on my computer, I won't be happy. Well, your whole being just got filled with God. So where did all the rest of it go? It's gone. That's why you feel that rush of joy. And one guy said, I've never felt this peace before. It's because your life was filled with sin and sorrow and sadness. And now it's filled with God Almighty, who has none of that in him. And a lot of people say, all right, Pastor, I need to keep this experience I'm in right here. You got it. It ain't going to go away. What's the challenge is you got to get the soulish realm, the mind, to get out of your way. It's the only part of your being, your body, that God says is an enemy. He didn't call your liver, your gizzard, your toenail. He didn't call none of those your enemy. God said, by the Holy Spirit, through Paul, Romans chapter 8, the mind is an enmity or enemy of God. So what do we got to get fixed? We got to get fixed all your religious indoctrinations. We got to get fixed all the misconceptions of God. And in the day we live, we got to get all that stupid post on Facebook out of your thinking so that you can actually believe what's in the Word of God. Because the truth sets you free. That's why God brought you here to us. We've got hundreds of videos that can help you walk with God and know who he is and help you be established in the things of God. My email address and website's right down there in the notes of this program. Shoot me an email. Honestly, shoot me an email. You send me an email, I'll send you one back. If you're a lady, female, I will not be the one that's corresponding with you privately all by myself. I don't do that. My wife will be there and will correspond with you and help you walk in the paths of righteousness. And when you think about how many people we're helping walk with God, there's a lot of people. When we were on Facebook, it was over 900 different people that was connected to us every month. We're on YouTube. We have nowhere near the same number of people that has received, that has clicked it or liked it, but 1,190, that's 42 people a day. That's pretty amazing. And we're glad you're here. We don't have to know who you are, but we want to. We want to know who you are. Send me an email. If 10,000 people send us emails, I got lots of people that'll help us answer them. We'll get your email answered, because we want you to know who our God is.
Amen.
And we have lots of ways to help you in Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive the communion elements together. Think about this. You've just been born again. And the very first act you get to have is to receive the communion elements. There's a lot of churches that'll teach you can't receive communion unless it's with just you and your pastor and your people. That's not the case. That's not in the Bible anywhere. If you're a member of the body of Christ every time the body of Christ is broken and shared. You can take part of it.
Amen.
You might be in a building where they won't let you. That's erroneous. Just function with whatever the building says when you're there and realize this is available for you 24/7, 365. This is not designed for just any church building. His broken body and his blood shed is designed to give you strength every single day as you need it. Here we go. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements. All of you on Zoom with us, you're welcome to say this out loud so it sounds like church. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Because you live inside of me. Every joint supplying in my body. From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That you endured the cross, despising the shame. And then it says you sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high and you considered it all joy.
Amen.
And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with the Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever. By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away, and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away, and all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. I am able to overcome. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged. My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And And I will always...
A glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. We haven't sang this one in a while. Let's sing this one. Got to get all the crackers down.
Yeah.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, glory be to God. What a wonderful time in the Word of God tonight. You know, this wasn't a Read the Word program, but this was definitely a Read the Word program. We have read a serious amount of verses tonight to substantiate the Word of God in our lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so our answer to be established and grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior is always read the Word. And we've done that since the very beginning. And, you know, over and over we say, well, I only want these three verses, but we might as well just read this whole section. Why? Because then we won't be guilty of just giving you a verse of Scripture. Because what happens then many times is you take that verse out of context. And when you take it out of context, then you're going to get the wrong understanding of it. You got to get it into context, where it was written, why it was written, what was, listen to this. Not what was Paul, James, Peter, one of them guys saying. What was the Holy Spirit saying through this scribe who wrote for him when it was inspired in Jesus by the name? Well,
our question and answer Saturday night Q&A is exactly what a Bible study is supposed to be, and tonight was perfect.
Yeah, amen. All right, Sister Phyllis, you got our closing verses?
Oh, yes, thank you. Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And I also like to read a little bit of Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins' own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I love that.
Amen. And amen. And if you think about what Jesus, now remember, this is Jesus saying this to us, or this is John. I'm going to get it right. This is John the Revelator, Saint John, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus by the Spirit shows up to him and gives us this revelation, and he is prophesying by the Spirit. You and I have been made kings and priests to our God. What an amazing revelation. I know there's some people that is completely foreign to what anybody taught you. But what does that mean? That means turn off the TV. Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy don't matter. But your understanding of the Word of God will matter on the day you stand before Jesus.
Amen.
And the more you understand the Word of God, the greater your life's going to be, and the more people you're going to be able to help here on the face of this earth. And I encourage you, shut off the noise, turn off the distractions, and open up this book and begin to study some of these things. And Jesus said, to him who has revelation,
more
will be given. As you begin to study, God gives you greater and greater revelation. And
you'd be surprised at how many people never read Revelations because they say they can't understand it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they say it's a book of confusion. And it's scary.
But I personally like to be able to say, I'm not worried about the end times because I've read the book and I know how it ends.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And when you think about the title of the book, that doesn't lead you to fear. It's Jesus revealing something to you. Why would that give you fear?
Amen. Amen.
That's not going to lead you to doubt and unbelief. That's not going to lead you to, what's that one preacher say? Doubt, fear, and everlasting contempt. It's called, I like how Dr. Sutton says it, it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Well, tomorrow morning, tomorrow, Sunday, at noon Eastern, 11 Central, we'll be live for 1 hour of faith and then communion. And we teach about principles of faith. And we've been in a series, a study of walking with God like, and then we've been talking about some New Testament men and women and how they walked with God and how they were known by God. In the New Testament. And, you know, one of my favorite of all the New Testament people I want to walk like is Ananias. Not the guy that died.
I was going to say, what?
The guy that was so trusted by God to obey God that God sent him to lay hands on Saul of Tarsus who was killing Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, Lord, this guy's doing damage. And God said, all right, go. And he said, all right, I'm going. I love this disciple. He was not an apostle. God told him the street and the name of the man and what he did.
Yeah.
Simon the tanner on the street called Straight. And you'll find a man named Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias knew God so well as a disciple that God could give that clear of understanding. And then he went and laid hands on Saul. And the scales fell off. Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues and prophesy by a disciple, not a great apostle. So I encourage you to do that in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I just keep going because it's been so long since I've been sitting here in this studio like this. I could preach all night. And as all y'all remember from the beginning, I got a makeup to do on Read the Word for Esther. Because we got to get that one back in there and get it right. and then we'll be doing Read the Word. And today, I believe, we begin Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah going back to the city to build the temple and the walls. And we're only like about another 7 days, and we'll be done with the Old Testament for Read the Word. Remember, there's a playlist for Read the Word. There's a playlist for Establishing Your Faith, what we just did right here. There's a playlist for Saturday night programs. There's a playlist for the morning prayer program. They're all playlists and YouTubes that you can find from this channel, where you can just click that little like button on there, and that'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. All right. I'm just continually talking until we see you again. This is what we have to say. Everybody join me. Pause. I got one light. I got one mic. Everybody join me. I got one mic. Everybody join me. I got one mic. All right. Well, they might not be able to get to their mics. Ready? We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
God loves you.
God loves you.
And Jesus
is Lord.
Good night, Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you again real soon. God bless you guys.